Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Now, settle into the couch or lean back in the car seat.
Here we go.
Here we go. Oh, no.
26 of the country's toughest competitors are about to go head-to-head in the toughest contest there is.
We have ourselves a contest.
This is Rugby League at its best.
Wow. What about that?
Triple M
rocks
the footy. Yeah. Triple M rocks the footy.
And a very good afternoon, Sunday Triple M NRL right across the Triple M network, thanks to our mates at Ream. And I'm going to introduce the boys, but before I do that, what a weekend. What a week it's been in rugby league. Panthers 16, Tigers 2, that's four of their last five they've lost, the Tigers. Warriors 24, Parramatta 14, Broncos 28, Roosters 22. Then Titans, congratulations to them, they've beaten the Knights over the weekend as well, and that's three straight losses now for Newcastle. Souths 20 over the Cowboys 19 and a nail-biter. Manly 24, Storm 4. So we'll start on that. We'll take a song. We'll start on that. So stay right there because I know the boys want to pull that game apart. But before we do, let's say welcome to Gordon Tallis. Hello, Gordon.
Good afternoon, Anthony. Thank you for picking me up today.
That's okay. We've got plenty to talk about. And I know that you have listeners. He's prepared a royal wedding review, which we'll get to this afternoon.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to that. Paul Kent, what did you think, mate? Did you watch the royal wedding at all?
Yeah, I sat there with popcorn for about 4 hours. How long did it go for? I didn't miss a minute.
Good, good. And James Hooper from Fox League, mate, I'm loving the shirt today, mate. What are you, the Milky Bar kid?
Thanks, Anthony. Yeah, it's a flannel. I like your shorts too, mate. They're terrific, those. What colour are they?
They're called pink or magenta, salmon. You call that. Magenta.
Yeah, yeah. They look lovely, mate.
Mm. Well, thank you very much.
Those for blokes? Or?
They do make them for blokes, yeah. Thank you very much for noticing them too. Boys, plenty to get through today. I know you want to talk about the royal wedding and what else. We've got plenty of guests. Damien Cook from the victorious South Sydney Rabbitohs coming up as well. We're going to speak to a number of guests. We'll talk about the salary cap drama around the Bulldogs because so many Bulldogs supporters listen to this show. So we'll get to that as well in the course of the afternoon. Of course, the send-off, the sin bins and players being returned to the field early from the sin bins, not just a couple of seconds, a minute and 41 seconds. Who's responsible for that? The boys will talk about that, as I say, the send-off, the winners from yesterday, the losers, the resignation of the great Cameron Smith. It's all coming up on Sunday Triple M NRL. Stay right there. Sunday Triple M NRL, Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, Hoops and Maroon here. Lots and lots of dramas over the weekend. We're going to jump straight into this game everybody's talking about at the moment. Manly and Melbourne, a great win for Manly, who have now, in the last couple of weeks, clocked up a victory over Brisbane in Brisbane and then last night over Melbourne in Melbourne. So a couple of things to come out of the game. Curtis Scott was sent off. We'll get to that shortly. Appy Coruscant and Dylan Walker were both sin bin and allowed back on before the 10 minutes was up. We're thinking somewhere in the vicinity, well, we know, about a minute and 41 seconds too early. Here's a statement from the NRL on that matter. Then I'll hand it over to the boys. The NRL will conduct a full review of the timing of the dismissals and the process. The responsibility of the timing for sin bins is held by the clubs. Although in this instance, this is beautiful, it appears there were no club-supplied sin bin operators present at the at the venue. What is this? Kenty, is it 1980? I mean, what is this?
It's just another level of incompetence from the NRL. They keep telling us that they know how to run the game and they can't even get something as simple as a sin bin correct. Look, there is a... Hoops has been on the phone all morning. Take us through technically how it happens because the NRL, they're trying to worm their way out of this.
Look, basically, the responsibility falls upon the ground manager who is employed by the NRL. So he's the NRL ground manager. He's the timekeeper for sin bins. He keeps an eye on the interchange. He keeps an eye on HIAs, all that sort of thing. Yeah, he's supposed to be across all of that. He's the fellow, the bloke who we saw the vision last night of Frank Panisi remonstrating and arguing with somebody on the sideline. Well, that's who that was. That was the NRL ground manager. And what Frank was doing, who's the director of football at the Melbourne Storm, was saying, mate, your stopwatches skew if. It's way off. Like, they've only been off for 8 minutes and 19, not the regulation 10 minutes. So the NRL are attempting to hide behind due process and protocol and all these spin sort of words. But essentially, when you peel it all back, it's an NRL ground manager stuff up.
So what happened last night was when you go off, the ground manager actually has the job of recording the 10 minutes. But the club, so and he oversees the clubs who do their own players. Manly didn't send anybody down. Okay, so the ground manager was in control, but Frank Panisi, as Melbourne's appointed man to do it, he also had his stopwatch on. So he was sitting there with his stopwatch on, and after 8 minutes and 19 seconds or whatever it was, he sees the ground manager, who's doing the job for Manly, send the player back on. Now, Manly, one, don't send anybody down. Two, the NRL's guy who's supposed to be the safety net for that is unable to do the job. So for the NRL to try and sit there and worm out in this investigation and try and sort of create this illusion that it's not their issue, just shows once again that they've got it. They can't get it right.
You guys might be surprised, but I got sent off a couple of times and sent in.
No. Just,
yeah. And normally when you're there, there was a Bronco guy standing beside you. And if you're playing Penrith, there's a Penrith guy. And the Penrith guy used to keep an eye on you.
Yeah.
So Craig Bellamy wasn't blowing up. So I know that the NRL are at fault, but if you care that much and someone gets sent to the sin bin and Frank Panisi's sitting there, you send someone up with a stopwatch and go, make sure that they're off for 10. I think it's part
this
of...
That's not Frank Gordon. That's exactly... Problem. No, but that is actually exactly what Frank did. Frank sat there, right? And see, part of the process,
sat on the sideline. He wasn't up there. Because when I was in the tunnel, right? There was two guys... At the Dragons, Brian Kenevan or whatever, mate, and they stand there. He goes, right here, son. And I was in the dressing room for eight, and they go, come on, and you sit on the sideline. And then both of the timekeepers would like sit there, and old Eric Cox would go, see you, mate, once they were happy that I had the time. So the clubs were involved. So basically there were three involved. So now they're saying that the clubs are going to be...
20 years ago.
Oh, okay, so... Well,
but it worked, Paul.
But look, it worked.
It worked. And where this has broken down
is the clubs have dropped the ball.
The clubs haven't dropped the ball, though, Gordon, because Frank Panisi attempted to go to the NRL ground manager. And it's actually, we should point out here, Kenty, it was actually because Manly didn't have a timekeeping sideline official there, their responsibility actually falls to Frank Panisi because they are the home club.
Yeah.
So the responsibility was on Frank. Frank had his stopwatch on. He knew that it was wrong. He went up to the ground manager and attempted to remonstrate. Short of running onto the field and tackling Appy Coruscant and tackling Matthew Wright and saying, get back over the sideline, your time's... I don't know what else Frank could have done. Yeah.
Well, I think Appy Coruscant was lucky to even go back on, because they send one off for throwing a punch. He should be off as well.
I tell you what, we'll come to that.
Okay, so like then if one... throws a punch and he's sent.
I don't understand why Dylan Walker got sin bin though. What did he get sin bin for? Verbal.
Yeah, just being lippy. That's what I thought.
Carrying on like a tool.
Did you ever see anybody get sin bin when you were playing for verbal?
Well, that happened in the South game.
Yeah, I got sin bin for telling Katie Bill Harrigan.
Was that back chat to the referee though, or was that?
It was unclear. He suddenly got sin bin, and we were all like, "What's that for?" And it's been for dissent.
If you can, fellas, let's clear up this sin bin drama. We'll move on to the send off drama. So just getting back to this, what needs to happen? Because it's, when I read this, it says the responsibility of the timing for sin bins is held by the club. So that's Paul saying the NRL are trying to get out of.
Yeah, the NRL are bowling a flipper there.
Yeah.
It's the NRL ground manager who has made the mistake here, Anthony. Yes, the NRL can spin it and say the responsibility is on the clubs. Frank Panisi was the man who was in charge last night, and he was seen visibly remonstrating with the NRL ground manager because he knew there'd been a mistake.
But by the time the players got sent off, they were off for 14 minutes anyway. That's how long it took them to walk off the field. It took them 5.5 minutes to walk off, so really it wasn't eight.
It's got to be according to the game clock.
Yeah.
It can't be spun to be the club's fault, which the NRL is attempting to do, because the... Frank Panisi was on the sideline. His clock's going 18 minutes, 8 minutes, 14 seconds, 8 minutes, 15 seconds, 8 minutes. And suddenly he sees the NRL ground manager send the player back on. What can he do? He, as Hoops just said, he can't go on and pull the players back off.
Mm.
Okay? Once the NRL ground manager says, okay, guys, go back on, they're on in 3 seconds. They get on the field a lot quicker than they get off it. They're on the field. Frank, by the time he's witnessed this and said to the ground manager, they're on the field. So the NRL trying to spin this now like it's a club fault. It's once again an example of an incompetent administration not being accountable.
So if I'm a Manly supporter here, just to be clear, Hoops, if I'm a Manly supporter, the first thing I'm thinking is,
What happens to your 2 points?
Yeah, am I keeping the 2 points if I'm a Manly supporter?
Well, look, as far as I'm aware, the people that I've spoken to at the NRL today, absolutely Manly will keep those 2 points. And you know what? So they should. As much as this is a stuff up, as much as this is the sort of thing you would expect to happen in the under sixes, for a sport that has a television broadcast deal worth $2 billion and a bunker worth $3 million a year, you would think that we could in the bunker who, when players get sin binned, and we've seen more sin bins this year than any other season in recent memory, we should have somebody in there whose responsibility is to, from now on, make sure that 10 minutes is 10 minutes.
And not only that, if the NRL is happy to cop $30, $40, $50 million a year from their wagering partners, okay, and people are out there and may or may not have lost money because of the results of that game, there is a responsibility here, and the NRL have got to grow up and accept that. They don't do that. Yeah, one of the big things in the game at the moment is Supercoach, okay? That brings in all the rusted-in fans, okay? So when you need more accountability and honesty and to the process here. You can't keep treating your fans like mugs and try to blame some little bloke down in Melbourne who didn't do the job right. This is a billion-dollar sport, and it's
integrity. Yeah, but we're crying over a minute and 40 or 39 seconds. It's not about that, Gordon.
It's the principle. It's the point. It's the fact
that Melbourne Storm lost the game. They're not even worried about it. Craig Bellamy sat there. We're not even involved in the game. We didn't put in any effort.
I didn't set the game plan.
But Craig Bellamy sat there and went, what was the score when it happened?
6-4 or something.
There you go.
Do you know what? Cameron Smith doesn't do that tackle, he doesn't get suspended, they win. There's more things to worry about than a minute. They didn't lose the game in a minute and 39 seconds.
I don't see it as the biggest deal in the world like you, right? However, no, but the reason that it is a big deal is because it's the NRL, mate. It's big-time professional football. It is a $2 billion sport, right?
And you know what Craig realised?
He should have had someone there to look at it.
Frank Panisi, if you really
ask
him.
You're not listening.
No, he had someone there.
20 years ago, there was someone standing right beside me telling me that I wasn't allowed on the field. They were allowed to go there because Melbourne wasn't there, Paul.
Frank Panisi's not a ham sandwich. He was there.
No, he wasn't because they were on the field. No, he wasn't. He was sitting there on the sideline watching. No, he wasn't, Paul.
The ground manager told him to go back on the field.
He should have been standing there with him.
Frank pointed it out to the ground official.
Can you interject? Because otherwise I think Kenty and I might end up in that building about 100 metres.
You can say it's not a big deal, but we'll move on. That's like they got like a 20% reduction in their sin bin time. That's a massive deal.
I wish we had a sin bin here. Well,
you? I know, mate.
Because you'd be in it.
Okay, let's move on now to the send-off. Now, let's move on to the send-off. Vossie's call on Fox League. Let's have a listen to Fox League's call, and then we'll dissect the send-off.
Jensen, then DCE for Walker, who passes to no one. Manly will get a scrum feed out of it. And Walker and Scott are at it again. Finchie called it. And these two angry ants, Dylan Walker and Curtis Scott, they might have to take it out the back of the grandstand. Hello, the Battle of Brookvale is returning some years on here at Amy Park. This spilled over before the scrum was due to pack, and he's been sent off. It's no sin bin. Curtis Scott is sent off. The send-off still exists.
So Curtis Scott punches Dylan Walker. Curtis Scott gets sent off. The first send-off since 2015, the last man being David Shillington. But Hoops, now somebody told me a couple of years ago, before I even saw Curtis Scott play a first grade game, that he's a little bit of a quote-unquote loose cannon.
Did they?
They did.
Were they involved in the game?
They were involved in the game.
Okay. Oh, look, Curtis Scott is a damn good young player.
He is.
And like a lot of damn good young players, some of them have got a little bit of a switch and a little bit of that nick in them. And no doubt Dylan Walker being Dylan Walker, he would have been saying all sorts of things throughout the course of the game. That doesn't excuse what happened. The rules are the rules now. As much as many of us from, years gone by, don't have an issue with that sort of thing. For mums at home and for young people watching the game, it's not a look that needs to be celebrated these days, sadly. So I think Curtis Scott's probably looking at a decent stretch on the sideline. And the reason for that, it's not only the fact that he's thrown punches when you're not supposed to, but nowadays the match review committee takes into account the injuries sustained in an incident. And Dylan Walker's got a fractured eye socket, so he's probably going to miss, you know, between 4 and 6 weeks of footy. So I'd say Curtis Scott, he'd probably be looking at a reasonable stretch as well.
Yeah, look, it's unfortunate what happened. The game, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because when an incident like this happens, the Rusted Ons all get up and out of their chairs and cheer and, to be honest, enjoy it. I enjoyed it.
So did I.
You know, but the game has moved on. Look, strictly speaking, Curtis Scott knows he's not allowed to do it. He did it. He got sent for it. That's it.
Mm.
Yeah. That's it. You're not. We've all been told. Every player's been told you can't do it anymore. He went and did it. So, as much as we want to,
part of me is glad that he did. And I know that might sound a bit barbaric, a bit dinosaurish, but it's because everybody's pushing, everybody's coming in, and it's just happened. And now the NRL can draw a line in the sand of people running in. And Appy Coruscant for coming in, he should be charged for a hit and run. He should be charged a grade 3 for a hit and run because he did the same thing. So he should have went. There was only one mistake. He should have went to the bin as well, like sent off.
Yeah. Sent off. Appy.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, boys. But so just
he just got back to early Gordon.
So you're saying a lengthy stint on the sideline for that?
Oh, look, I might not necessarily agree with that, Maroon, but I think the reality is under the current rules and in this day and age that. I would say, look, he's definitely going to be suspended. Yeah, he's definitely going to be looking at a few weeks on the sideline.
All right. What do you reckon he'll get?
Well, like I said,
there's more than one punch thrown too. That'll be taken into account. It wasn't like it was just one punch. He threw one, and it wasn't the first one didn't do much. It was the second or third one
this
that landed.
This is silly. The last guy I saw, there's two. There was one of the Burgess boys got in a fight in Newcastle.
Yep.
And Gallen. They're the last two fights I remember. They're like 6 or 7 years apart.
Mm.
So it's pretty much out of the game, isn't it?
Like, it is. It is. Well, you go back, right? I remember that day at Penrith when you got in that altercation with Ben Ross. Now, you didn't get charged with anything as a result of that, I remember. Because I remember on the Monday.
It was just hot.
We're all asking David Gallop, trying to get an answer about, is there anything happening there? And he just said, no. Well, look, it was dealt with on the field and it was sorted out on the field and it was left there. So, but the times have changed.
Oh, haven't they ever?
And,
you're lucky.
The world that we live in.
I was at a game once in 1987 and Bundy Davidson and Ciro got stuck into it and feeding him. It was better than the game. It was unbelievable. Anyway, boys, Manly getting another good win there, 24 points to 4. So all the controversy and everything that's going on there, it's good to see Trent and the boys getting a win. And those scores are always thanks to Tyre Power. Get $100 cash card at Tyre Power when you buy 4 selected Continental Passenger or 4x4 tyres. It's Sunday Triple M NRL with Kenny, with Hoops, with Gordy Tallis and Maroon. Another game with a dramatic finish was the Rabbitohs Cowboys game. Souths getting home 20 points to 19. And Damien Cook continues to impress, doesn't he, at hooker. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll get Damo on the phone. We'll talk to him. We'll talk about the Rabbitohs. We'll talk about the Cowboys. And are they gone for 2018 as Triple M rocks the footy?
Triple M footy. Let's go! Across Australia.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Now, you can, of course, you can listen to the Triple M NRL coverage wherever you are if you have the Triple M NRL app. So get the app now, download the Triple M NRL app, triplem.com.au. You can join in the footy tipping as well. And, of course, just before we speak to Damien Cook, who's coming up shortly, a quick look at the top 8 Dragons, Panthers, Warriors, they've all played, Rabbitohs, Storm, Roosters, Tigers and Sharks to play today. But the top 4 at the moment on points is the Dragons, who have to play today, of course. Dragons on 16 with a game to play. Panthers on 16. Warriors on 16. Wrapping up the top 4, the Rabbitohs on 14. That's all thanks to our mates at EWFW Consulting Engineers. And from last night's victorious Rabbitohs team, Damien Cook, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
I think, mate, most Rabbitoh supporters are just right behind you, the wonderful form you've showed this year, mate. But the Bunnies are averaging about 25 points a game. So Yeah, that's a good thing. That's, you know, it's wonderful to watch.
Yeah, it is, mate. Now, it's something we really worked on over the off-season is our attack and changed it up a bit. But, you know, our forwards are playing really well and laying the platform for the outside backs. But, you know, we still don't think we've just got it perfect yet, our attack, but we're really loving our defence at the moment, holding teams out.
What has been the clue there, Damien, to changing the way you're playing? Obviously, the structure, and we're seeing there's less structure and you're playing a little bit more second-phase football. What's Anthony Seibold done for you guys to change it around?
Yeah, I think that's it. It's a bit less structure going on, just allowing the boys, to the halves, to see what's in front of them. And first things first, just, you know, running forward, running hard and looking to create momentum through quick play the balls and play off the back of that. So I think it's just taking a bit of, you know, the shackles off the halves and letting them play some footy.
And a big cooter that's been the form of Tom and George Burgess. What's he said to them? Or what, he's put little Velcro straps on their fingertips or what?
No, there's something they've been working on, mate. It's good to see them just playing some good footy, consistent footy week in, week out. And you see how damaging they have been against teams. And it's been obviously good for me running off the back of them as well. They've done a good job and allowed me to run off the back of them.
Just on that, Damien, are you at the track, are you? What's going on in the background there?
No, it's just Jason Clark carrying on. Maybe just on the team bus heading back to the airport.
Very good. Mate, just on that, on the Burgess brothers and their resurgence, I remember being out at Redfern at a training session earlier in the preseason, and you were putting soap on footballs and they were doing a lot of work with tennis balls and all that sort of reflex-style stuff. Do you think that that was brought into your training to try and really improve the whole team's skills?
Yeah, I think that was a bit of Willie Peters at the club at the moment, just brought in a few things, just warm-ups before we start training, a bit of hair and coordination stuff. And, yeah, the soapy ball that was one to come out, never an enjoyable one, but you could probably say that probably a big part of one of the little things of, you know, working on our skills and, I think probably paying off a little bit, yeah.
We're watching the coverage last night and Denny Badira spoke quite glowingly of the way you're playing, and it's pointed out a lot about how you're, as you mentioned earlier, getting on the back of Tom and George and a couple of your other forwards at those quick play the balls. It's really put you in the frame for Origin.
Yeah, look, I've got to pay credit to my forward pack. Like I said before, they're running hard and getting the quick play the balls allows me to come into the game. And Steve's just said to, you know, whenever I see the opportunity to run, just to take it and to back myself. And, you know, I've really felt like it's been a big part of that, him allowing me to play my style of footy. And obviously, yeah, it's nice to be mentioned in that arena. And, those things have come from playing good, consistent footy with, South Sydney.
Is that so? What you're doing now, how much is that is your natural game, and how much of that is have you coached into yourself to do on the back of quick play the balls?
I think it's a natural game. I think running's been a big part of my game growing up in footy, but one that's been a key for this year is definitely game management and consistency, which we're playing the 80 minutes. And I think a few times last year, I got caught out trying to come off the bench and maybe doing a little bit too much. And this year I've been able to play the 80 minutes and, you know, play myself into the game and take the right opportunities and not just run for the sake of running. So I think that's a big part of my game this year.
Yeah, well, it's certainly working, Damien. What about you got one more game next weekend against the Warriors and then the Blues team is announced. Have you heard from Freddie? Have you heard from Danny Badiris? Have you heard from Greg Alexander or any of those people involved?
No, I haven't heard anything, mate. I'm just going about me footy, mate, and let that do the talking. And if it happens, that'd be great. But yeah, look, big game against the Warriors, and we can, you know, really cement our spot in the top four next week.
Because the other thing too, Damien, I don't think this would have occurred to you even a week ago, but the possibility of now playing hooker for New South Wales is also the possibility now of playing hooker for Australia.
Wow.
I think that's getting a little bit ahead, I think.
Well, the Queensland don't have a hooker either.
Yeah, no, I think there's probably a few Queensland hookers that are probably, they might get the chance now that they've been stuck behind Cameron Smith, you know, the best hooker, probably one of the best players of our game. So it be interesting to see the way they go. I think, McCulloch's probably my pick for them. I really enjoy the way he plays and the style of footy he's played. So, but, you know, we'll see who they pick next week.
Hey, Cookie, you just spoke about McCulloch. Is there anybody that you've modelled your game on? Obviously, when someone comes, like they just, you know, whether it was a Steve Walters or whatever, with a Cameron Smith, is there some hooker that you've looked at and gone, I wouldn't mind playing like him one day?
I think I always enjoyed you know, my Cam Smith's game management, his kicking game as well. But I think Mick Ennis and Isaac Lukewood, I enjoy watching their attacking style of footy. That's what, you know, I love the attacking side of football. That's one big part of my game I've had to work on is my defence. And but yeah, those two growing up, I and obviously Ben actually went for the Knights when I was younger, so it was Danny Badiris at the time as well.
Yeah, that's, all... mate, that's the right decision. He's in a New South Wales coaching.
They're all champions of the game. Hey, Damien, what was it like on the field last night after that last-minute victory? Obviously, jubilation for the Bunnies, but I'll tell you what, geez, the Cowboys players, especially Jake Granville, they looked absolutely shattered.
Yeah, mate, we've been on the end of one of those as well, and I've been one of those players, I think, a couple of years ago where I gave the penalty away that, you know, against Melbourne, and they went on to win the game, so I know exactly how it feels. And it's a bad way to lose the game, but you know, in saying that, the way we won, I really did feel like we were the better team up there, played some good footy, but probably made it a little bit hard for ourselves as well.
Hmm. Damo, what about, I know this is all important, you playing Origin and you playing for Australia, but the Rabbitohs fans, they just want to make sure that you're okay. They're in the top four now. They want to stay in the top four. How long will you be at Southville? What's your current deal?
Yeah, they're all this year and next year, but I'm really happy here. So, not sure what's going to happen in the future, but hopefully play some keep playing good footy and consistent footy, and they want to keep me around because I'm happy to be here.
Okay, Damien Cook, mate, thank you so much, mate. Congratulations on yesterday, and best of luck if you are selected for Origin, which is only 2.5 weeks away now, the first Origin game. Good on you, Cookie. Thank you for your time.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, mate. Damien Cook from the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Rabbitohs 20 beat the Cowboys 19, and that score is also thanks to Tyre Power.
I love how you got it back from Origin Talk just back to your Bunnies.
Mm. Well,
you needed to go there, didn't you?
Well, I just,
you don't even care about Origin.
I do care about Origin.
No, you don't. I've heard you. We can get up a recording of you saying, I don't care. I just worry about South. I don't want any of my South players to play Origin.
No.
Yes, you
mate,
have
can
been.
Can you confirm or deny? We've heard some, you know, obviously we heard that. What was the bet earlier in the year where you were going to dress up as well?
Oh, fair.
No. Well, listen, we've had unconfirmed. Yeah. Can you confirm or deny last night after that last minute victory?
Yeah.
You were sighted in Reggie the Rabbit Y fronts parading around the George Hotel and the Duke of Wellington in Redfern and Waterloo. Is that
you
right?
You'd be game getting around the George with you, just which is your Reggie's on, wouldn't you?
Well, is that why you're wearing those shorts? Because when you picked me up this morning, you told me that you couldn't wear any other shorts because they had a stain on the front of them.
No.
You did. I said stains on them.
They were. I put some shorts on, sat down for a bit of toast and dropped the toast right in my lap. So I had to put these shorts on. And Gordon, while
do you have mayo on your toast?
No. While we're having these discussions, and at 11:06 this morning, HR, if you're listening, just to back up what happened last week, at 11:06 this morning, he said to me that he would quote unquote bitch slap me to death.
This he is, did not. He You've did. Fabricated
he
that.
Did. And
tell
Jordan,
the truth,
our panel
Anthony,
operator,
stop making things up.
He did
don't
say
don't
that.
Try and rape poor Jordan.
Jordan knows what he said. Anyway, let's talk a bit of footy. Plenty to come, still to come. Gordy's going to do a royal wedding review very shortly, everybody. So stick around for that. He watched the royal wedding. He knows all about the dresses, all about the guests, all about the gifts, all about Reverend Brown, who did that talk. Reverend Brown from Coming to America. You're going to say a few things about the preacher.
Brother said something.
It's all coming up. And up next, a very popular segment. We might take a song and come back. A very popular segment that's taken the world by storm. It's called NRL Tinder, and it's coming up right after Green Day on Triple M. Sunday Triple M NRL, all thanks to Ream Hot Water. Big games this afternoon coming up. One of them is at the beautiful city of Mudgee. That's the Raiders taking on the Dragons. We'll have score updates from that game. And then this afternoon, the boys will cover off on the Sharks Doggies game. That's an important game for both those clubs. Triple M NRL with Gordy Tallis, Kenty Hoops and Maroon. I didn't get enough into that Rabbitohs Cowboys game last night. For the Rabbitohs, that was 5 wins from their last 6 starts. But I don't think, I don't know anyone who could have predicted how far down the rung the Cowboys would be on the ladder after round 11. Are they gone for the years, the Cowboys, Gordy?
It's going to be hard for them. What are they going to win, 11 out of 13 or something to make it? It's really tough. Matt Scott went down again last night. You know, Jordan McLean.
He's gone for the year, they say.
Yeah, so was that a Liz Frank or something? Yeah, something like that. So,
yeah, Forts.
So last night was really good because Temalolo and Morgan got back to what they were doing late last year, and they were right in the fight and pretty unlucky. You know, Granville offside in the last play, had to lose the game. But I think they might be. I think they're gone.
Did you like Morgan at fullback?
I just like him. Look, I think when Jonathan Thurston has played his best, he hasn't had someone sitting right beside him. He's had someone sitting behind him, and that was when Matt Bowen. So he'd go. So he runs the whole team. He puts the forwards where he wants to put them. He goes and puts a play on. He's got his back rower. And if all that shuts down, his last option is to look, and then there was Matty Bowen just popping up, sitting somewhere around his vision. And I think that would help Morgan, because then if they close down his runners, well, there's going to be a gap. And with Morgan's speed and athleticism, I think he can capitalise on it. And it worked last night. I think Morgan is a natural ball runner.
Yep.
When Thurston wasn't there, he was brilliant last year with the team. But you can't have two guys wanting the quality ball. Someone has to take a back seat. Probably by putting Morgan back at fullback, it allows him to sit in the back.
The problem for the Cowboys is they've won 3 games from 11, and they've got to make the to give themselves any chance, they've got to win 10 from 14, probably 11 from 14, and 12 from 14 would be safe. So if they win 10 from 14, that puts them on 20. That'll put them on 28 points. Okay, but that doesn't seem impossible given what we know they're capable of. Problem is that the team that we know is so stacked with talent has so far only been able to produce 3 wins out of 11.
That loss last night too, Kenty, just shattering in terms of for your confidence levels. Like you thought that was the ray of, okay, if you're Paul Green and it's the 78th minute, you're going, right, when I get in the sheds after this, here we are, boys. This is the breath of life that we needed. Mm. We can build from here. And instead, poor Jake Granville gives away that penalty in the dying stages.
Fair penalty?
Yes. Well,
I think he was offside.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mate, they caught him about 3 times off, and I'm glad that they gave the penalty away. I'm sad for the Cowboys and their fans, but they've been promising to do that. Everybody's been offside. You look at the grand finals, as soon as comes the golden point, they're chasing down a drop kick, or like someone taking a drop kick, like the Roosters on Friday night, and then Asako, you know, went through and ends up scoring. I love seeing that. I want to watch them start to, you know, throw the ball, but everybody's offside, Paul. As soon as a drop kick's coming in, the markers are gone, mate. They're splitting. The bloke that's had no energy, couldn't get onside all night, he's run 15 metres to charge down a kick.
Yeah.
As sad as what it is.
I thought it was definitely a penalty. The complaints that'll come out when the criticisms come in is that about consistency. But I've got no issue with it. I thought it was the referee called him several times. You could hear him saying, Jake, Jake, Jake. He still went. Granville realised it actually too, but he'd already gone inside the 10 metres when he pulled up.
Mm.
So I thought it was a brave call, but it was the correct call. And you're right, Hoops. If you're Paul Green, you're sitting there and you're saying, righto, guys, we've got the fight back in our game, but the kick in the guts of losing it that late is going to do really bad things to their confidence. And this is a team who put a lot into last night. And to come short like they did after putting so much into it, Paul Green had kept under wraps the changes in the roster, the lineup all week. Yeah. He had Morgan all week. Morgan was going to play fullback. He still had Lachlan Coote turning up at training to give the impression that the Coote was still going to play.
Yep.
We obviously saw Tamari Martin come in at 5'8". So they'd been planning that all week. So that was... It was almost like you could sense the desperation they were taking into the game. And to have that mindset coming from them suddenly has ended in a shattering loss like it has been. I think it could have some sort of effect on the poor old Cows. I think they're gone. I don't think they can make it from here.
There's a lot of energy, mate. And the energy they showed last year, it's really hard. And their window could be closing. You know, it was 2015. Yeah. They played against the Broncos. They were up for a lot of years. I think there was... 3 years or whatever in a row that Neil Henry nearly got him to the grand final. And I think it was Manly, Cronulla, and the 7 tackle set or whatever.
Yep.
And then they won a grand final.
Yeah.
And it's probably time to get some new blood and teach those guys, because they probably didn't come on as quick as what they would have liked. And I think they need some fresh blood. And they started with Jordan McLean, but they need some fresh blood out wide. They need some genuine speed.
Pace, yeah.
And no disrespect to the guys, like, they just need a genuine superstar out in the centres or wing.
You hear people talk about
Gordon. Oh, it was Callum Ponga.
you hear people, yeah, well, in hindsight, that was clearly a really bad decision. But you hear people talk about premiership windows, and they say you've either got to change the coach or you've got to change the playing roster. And you'd have to say that with the Cowboys roster at the moment, the coach is locked in, so you can't change him.
He was so young.
But you're also going to change the roster because, look, let's remember, next year, Thurston goes out of the side. Morgan goes back into the halves as the dominant playmaker.
Yep.
And part of the problem that's been at the Cowboys this year is the Thurston and Morgan have just not worked at 6 and 7. And not from a point of view, not like Parramatta where you've got the two halves who are fighting over the ball. The opposite's true at the Cowboys. They're actually too polite to each other.
Mm. Too much respect.
Too much respect. So what's happening is Morgan sits there with opportunities in front of him, but he hears Thurston on the other side of the ruck call a ball. So rather than overcall, he just lets Thurston take it. Whereas he should be saying, no, I've got a 5-on-4 here. Mm-hmm. I want the ball. But he's not been doing that because he's thinking, he said, it's Jonathan Thurston. If he wants the ball, you give it to him. Thurston's doing what he does. He's a halfback. And in the absence of anybody making a call or running the side, he steps into that breach. So he's doing that. And he's hoping that when Morgan spots an opportunity, Morgan will overcall and take the ball. Morgan is sitting there and hearing Thurston call the ball first and think, oh, well, he wants it. I'll let him take it. And that's become a problem. I think that is the key what we saw on the weekend last night, which is that Morgan moves the fullback to take him out of that role. Tamari Martin, who's a little bit more brash, he comes in. He's quite happy to overcall. We saw early in the game last night a couple of times Thurston called the ball and Tamari Martin overcalled him and took it away from him, which was a good sign for the Cowboys. That's what they want. Thurston wants to see that. He wants to be able to work in partnership with a half. So there were some really good signs from that point of view about addressing what's been going wrong.
And Jake Granville having the intestinal fortitude, as Billy Harrigan says, to go that way. Because when it's Alfie Langer, and we used to call, and every club would have an overriding call for, you know, Raiders, it might be Mel or whatever it is. But, like, mate, when you call it, the dummy half's got a decision to go to Jonathan Thurston or go to a bloke that's played 10 games.
Yeah.
But you know, mate, it's really big. It's a brave call.
Well, mate, it's a brave call, and then you've got to live with it, because then Paul Green will go, mate, why didn't you go to Thurston? He goes, well, there was an overriding call.
You've got to trust that if somebody has, and every team has their overcall.
Yeah.
Every team has an overcall, which it's, you know, whatever that name is. You've got to trust if someone calls it that that's the right call, because you're coached not to make that call unless there's generally a try-scoring opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing with the Cowboys, we've spoken about all those key position players, but you'd have to say that their forward pack, Gordon, have been disappointing. If you look at just purely the results in terms of wins and losses, and you look at that pack on paper, and you got Matt Scott back into it, and you got Jordan McLean, who played for the Kangaroos at the end of last year, and you got Cohen Hess and Gavin Cooper and Jason Tomalolo, and it's a damn good forward pack. Do you think, I know they've shown signs at times, but is that a fair statement? Or
yeah, 100% correct. You know, the standards of what Tomalolo set last year, 3 weeks before the grand final, had run 690 something meters in the grand final. Melbourne limited him to 100 and something meters, but those stats and meters were unbelievable. But they're the standards that he set himself, so you would expect him to make. He's a 200 meter a game. That's massive, you know. And then you got McLean, which got injured. Matt Scott probably hasn't bounced back the way he would like, the way everybody would love to see Matt Scott come back and play. And Ethan Lowe, well, he's on the bench. And Hess, I thought, getting a taste of Origin, you can either go to the next level or you can stay in plateau and think that you've made. I think Hess, he's not at the crossroads, but he's a guy that I thought would have had a really good season, would have been pushing, a great starter, charging into people, and, you know, got that much confidence out of Origin, but it just doesn't seem.
He hasn't kicked on at all. Mm. In fact, he's gone backwards.
But Paul Green was concerned.
I spoke to Paul Green earlier in the week about Cohen Hess, and he was saying he was concerned last year about he wasn't ready for Origin, and he tends to think that Hess's form this year has shown the validity of his comment back then. He thought he'd be more ready this year, but so Hess hasn't kicked on. He needed to kick on this year. He needed to find that extra level that Origin players are capable of doing in club football, and it hasn't happened. The big thing out of last night, the Cowboys are gone, and Rabbitohs are really coming to the fore. We had Gertz coming in a couple of weeks back, and He actually went through the Rabbitohs Premiership team in 2014 against this side.
He reckons this year's a better side, doesn't he? Or?
Well, he reckons it's as good. The only thing really missing from 2014 that's not there now is Ben Teo. Mm. But you've sort of got Angus Crichton, different type of player.
Yeah.
But he's Angus Crichton's certainly a
damn
talent.
Damn good player.
Yeah, certainly a talent. But yeah, back then, yeah, Inglis was fullback. Now he's moved to centres. Alex Johnson back then was on the wing. Now he's a fullback. So there's a little bit of manoeuvring there. Luke Keary's not there, but they've got Cody Walker there. So there's a little bit of like for like here and there. But the Rabbitohs are their roster's in pretty good shape after getting Ben out of shape following 2014 Premiership.
Yeah, and they've got a big couple of games coming up this coming weekend, round 12. Rabbitohs Warriors in Auckland, Dragons Penrith, and an important one for the Cowboys, although you guys think they're gone. It doesn't get any easier. They've got the Storm next week. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do NRL Tinder. Do you swipe left? Do you swipe right? We're going to do that right after this as Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon, our match of the day at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Before that, there's a 2 o'clock game between the Raiders and the Dragons in Mudgee, which will give you score updates for that one. So stay right where you are for all your footy gear. We know that we are broadcasting from the city of Sydney, where there is a massive amount of Eels and Doggies fans. We will get to both of those clubs and their dramas in the next hour, so stay right there. Right now, though, it's time for Triple M's NRL Tinder, where as Tinder works, so I believe you swipe left if you're not interested and you swipe right if you are interested. It's time for this.
Triple M's NRL Tinder.
Yeah, so that's what you do. You go left, you go right, is from what they tell me. Have you ever had a crack
what
at that hoop?
I don't know what you practice. Like
you, I'm
Anthony.
Telling you, you're practicing really good now. You're getting the hang of it.
No.
In the ad break,
I would
you've
not
been
even
the hang
know
of it.
How to do it.
No,
so,
well,
you know,
you're getting good at it.
You know, the first time a girl spoke, first time I spoke to a girl and she answered me, I married her because I was really struggling for support in that area. So I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
Do you want to send Christine, Miss Portugal, a shout out?
She's turning 50 this week.
Oh, I might send her a shout out.
Miss Portugal, she never listens to us. She's turning 50 if you see her up at East Gardens. Happy 50th, Miss Portugal.
I bet she's happy you advertising that.
Oh, no, she's not going to be pleased with that at all. Anyway, boys, NRL Tinder. Swiping left or right, Kenny Edwards has been released from his contract at Parramatta. Are you swiping left or right on Kenny Edwards, Gordy?
I need to know why he's got released. Do you know?
Okay, so what happened was he's got a little bit of form, and now he's had this issue, just broad brush strokes. He's seen that the police have seen him driving without a license, so he's ditched the car, got out and done a runner. That's it.
Well, he's lucky he didn't go down for a cramp when he's doing the runner because he gets a cramp a lot when he's playing.
What is it, left is good or bad?
I'm over you blokes, both of you. Can you just, even if you don't go on it, you don't have to pretend you don't know how it works every time.
Well, I don't know how it works.
Left, you don't. It's simple.
Yeah.
Left, I don't.
Every time Tinder comes up, people pretend they don't know how it works.
Yeah. I don't know, but
just
right.
Remember, right is right, left is no good.
But okay, so in this instance,
right, I swipe right. He a couple of times he hasn't turned up on plays this year. Like when you watch him, he's just been so lazy. So his performances on the field, obviously, are matching his performances off the field.
Yeah, Parramatta did the right thing. It was a mutual agreement that they came to terms, which is essentially Parramatta saying, mate, you're in a heck of a lot of trouble here, and you're on the way out. And him saying, look, I won't fight it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the right thing. Look, last year he missed 6 or 7 games because he was up on domestic violence charges. A couple of years earlier, he missed 8-9 months, wasn't it, when he did a sample for a player at the club.
Yep.
So he's got form, and the fact this time came around, and when he got caught, he did not inform the Parramatta Eels until 2 days before he had to go to court. So he held it for the best part of a month before finally telling the club. It just, clubs build culture on honesty above everything else. And when you're not being honest with your club, it's very difficult for the club to support you.
So, but is this...
So swipe right.
Kenny, is he going to go to another club or
no,
he's Super
been,
League?
He's
or?
Just been released, I think, right. Anthony.
Okay. What about you, Hoops? Left or right for Kenny Edwards?
What's the actual question, please, Maroon?
The question is, on the playing career of Kenny Edwards, are you swiping left or right?
That's just a crap question, to be honest.
Well... Okay, but
did Parramatta do the right thing?
But did Parramatta do the right thing?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. Swiping right.
Now, what about this one? Nathan Cleary for Origin. We'll start with you, Hoops. Left
swipe
or right?
Right. I thought he was great. I thought he showed no signs of that MCL knee injury or after effects of it against the Tigers on Thursday night. I think his composure with the ball is tremendous for a bloke his age. And I think, most importantly, I think his defence is outstanding for a player with those limited number of NRL games as he has.
NRL Tinder, Paul Kent, Nathan Cleary.
He was particularly impressive in that second half the other night. He went out and didn't really show any signs of coming back from a knee injury and terrorised the Tigers in that second half. Mm. I thought it was a tremendous first up effort. Mm. I'd like to see it again this week, but on what we saw the other night, swipe right.
Right.
Okay, let's stay with you then, Gordon. The next one is on the back of what happened last night with Curtis Scott and Dylan Walker. Bring back the Biff, left or right?
Left.
Don't bring back the Biff.
No.
Hmm. Paul?
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
Because you did enjoy it a little bit.
I think every person grew up, who's my age, grew up loving rugby league, doesn't mind that when it happens. Mm-hmm. I understand the problems it gets to people who aren't as rusted on as what I am. So from that point, I tend to think. So the
if you're selfish, you swipe right. And if you think of the game and the kids watching the game, you swipe left.
But see, Gordon, one of the things which is interesting, I was talking to an ex-NRL official a year or two ago about this, and we were discussing the no punching rule specifically. And he said the worst thing the NRL did, and this is a former NRL official himself, he said the worst thing the NRL did was actually verbalise that you will be sent off and do that, because if you act on it after it's happened, then you're discouraging the behaviour. But by verbalising it, for all the people who, like yourself and me and Hoops, and not you, Anthony, because you've got those pink shorts on.
But the other one's had a big stain on them.
But for people who...
toothpaste.
For people who don't actually aren't offended by seeing that in the game and actually get a little bit of enjoyment out of it, the game has lost the anticipation for it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things about Origin now. There wasn't always a blue in Origin, but the anticipation of a blue really brought an energy to you as a viewer, whether you're at the game or watching on TV, that you thought anything, this could go off at any point. I do think the players... in the last couple of years before it was officially banned, almost went like the cliche, like they felt they were obligated to put a blue on rather than just so genuinely hating each other that they weren't able to control it. Mm. So it's a tough one. Look,
the thing was for me, I had to stop punching them, because if someone pissed me off, I wanted to go out there and just give him a clip. Yeah. Look, go away. But now it'd be worse where, do you know what? I just go, well, because the thing I don't like watching is everybody runs in now. Back in the day when there was Les Davison and Blocker and all that, they didn't run in.
No.
No one ran in.
And that's
why I thought Ben Ross, three guys run into the fight. It didn't look as bad and the play went on.
Boys, it's NRL Tinder. Now, what about you, Hoops? Left or right on bring back the Biff?
No, you got to swipe left, Anthony. Okay. You got to swipe left.
Thank you very much. Now, this one I know you'll all have something to say about. Story in the telly today about New South Wales team doing yoga. Namaste. Are you swiping left or right, Hoops?
It's a little bit different. Have you ever done any yoga, Anthony?
I have done yoga.
You like the hot stuff, don't you? What do they call that?
That's called Bikram yoga. I did some yoga up at
Ken's Karate Club.
My gym with... Cement Gillespie's lovely wife takes the yoga up there, and I wasn't very good at it.
I've been to Kent.
Yeah. Well, hang on a second. Hang on. Kenty, you've been to Ken's karate club.
Yes.
What did you do there?
I wrote a story about it.
All right. We're going to have to come back to this. Is that okay?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Look, I don't
I'm
like swip- the yoga.
Hang on. I'm swiping right for the yoga. Go, Kenny. Sorry.
I'm swiping left for the yoga. I tend to think, look, I get the whole mental thing, but this is Origin. Unless everyone buys in, which I don't think they will, I think some players will be taken to it reluctantly. I think it's a unnecessary, yeah. Queensland have won 11 from 12 and they haven't done the downward dog pose once.
Gordon.
on Forex Island, they might have after a couple of big nights. I don't know. Look, I want to swipe right, and hopefully they go horse riding too. Hopefully it's a nice, hopefully it's a nice retreat, and they go horse riding and do the yogurt and all that stuff that they want to do.
Yoga, not yogurt. Yeah, okay.
Sunday Triple M NRL. Ken's is closed down now, by the way, Paul. Parramatta fans, the boys have got plenty to say about the Parramatta Eels. What is going wrong this year? What's gone wrong? There was a flash in the pan, but it didn't amount to much. We'll talk about the Eels. Gordy Tallis reviews the royal wedding. Yes, that's coming up as well. The Dogs salary cap drama. Plenty to come. It's Sunday Triple M NRL. We're back with more right after this.